This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $30 off your first Simple Contacts order by visiting simplecontacts.com/wow and enter the promo code WOW.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. That music signifies yet again a chance to sit around with you before the fire of life and discuss all things World of Warcraft and beyond. Here on The Instance, it's episode 525 for June 8th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson, and there be Garrett Weinzerl.
Here I be, yar. Are we doing pirates now? Is that...
I don't know.
It's not Pirate Week, is it? Is it Pirate Day coming up on the calendar?
Probably. I usually hate that day, but I actually like talking like a pirate, so the Talk Like a Pirate Day, I'm of two minds. Part of me wants to talk like a pirate, and part of me wants to punch people who talk like a pirate. So... I don't know what that means.
I'm very fond of Booty Bay. It has a very soft place in my heart. So I like Pirate Day in World of Warcraft.
Mm. How did you feel when so the Cataclysm wreaked a little havoc on that place, right?
I mean, it like threw some seaweed on the dock.
Yeah, but they had that big goblin statue took a big shit.
Goblin Jesus isn't looking so great.
Goblin Jesus, he's like the Brazilian Jesus statue. Yeah. I never thought of it that way before, but all right.
It's my favorite establishing shot in the entire Fast and the Furious franchise is when they do that scanning shot of Goblin Jesus.
That's pretty good. Ooh, sorry, this is not WoW related, but I got to ask the question since you brought it up. Best film in the Fast and Furious franchise. I'm going to say Tokyo Drift. Come at me.
Oh, this is why we're friends.
You like Tokyo Drift. People fight me on this. That's great.
Tokyo Drift was the last bastion of really great live action car stunts in that entire franchise.
I agree.
It got really CG after that.
It did, and even a little bit before, like the first one was some real hokey CG effects in parts of it. And then two was just bad. And then,
oh, I love two. It's in Florida. Floridians have to love two.
I guess so. But there's problems. And I thought after that, the franchise was gone. And then Tokyo Drift comes out of nowhere and just drifted right into my heart. It's a great movie.
Oh.
I know. Oh. This is a real tight moment we're having here.
Drifted right into my heart.
Tokyo Drift.
That's anyway. Almost as terrible as putting a Nissan engine in a 1967 Mustang Fastback.
I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't know
that's how. That's what they did in that movie.
No, that's right. They did. You're right. But I also just liked that character, and I liked everything about it. And also, I'm kind of a fan of them figuring out a way to bring him back and messing with the timeline. All that stuff I think is great. Sorry, spoilers, everybody, for Tokyo Drift. But
spoiler alert. Fast and the Furious accidentally made a cinematic universe.
That's right. It's pretty interesting. Anyway, we're glad to be here. Thanks, everybody. We don't know where the Europeans are. Basically, we just have this open-door policy. They wander into the pub if you're Terpster or... If you're Patrick, I guess the barista. Or no, that's the guy who makes coffee.
I'm sure they have pubs in France.
Well, they probably call them something else, though. Like the Casbah or some shit. Right? Something dumb that. Well,
then I want to go rock a pub in France.
Rock the pub. No, it'd be like, come on, chat. You know what I'm trying to say. It's a thing. There's a word for a French bar. It's not just bar. I can't think of what it is. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Patrick is here.
According to Google, it's called un bar.
Un bar, great. It's just a cafe. A bistro is what I'm thinking of. But that's like food. Everything's food over there. Whatever. Speaking of people like licking each other's pits. Anyway, that was a reference to the top of the show. Let's move on. Plenty to talk about today, and we may as well just jump right in. All right. Character copy is now available on the PTR/beta. If you want to move your dude over and make a copy of him, it could be a lady. It doesn't have to be a dude. It could be your female character. I don't care. That's a feature now. Now, that's usually when I start to get kind of in a better place in my head anyway about messing around with betas and PTRs, because I don't like starting fresh or even with pre-builds. I find I kind of feel better if I take a familiar, even if it's just because I like the name or I've spent a lot of time with that character. I'd rather take GURP in there than take some new character. So here's your chance. Copy him, go over there, and it's as if you're in that world already, and play the beta if you're into such things. Now,
This is where I usually find out who the hell I'm leveling first.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm waffling between classes.
Right. This is a good idea, right? Because that way you're getting more out of the beta than just seeing content you're going to have to play again in the live game, which I don't like doing, right? I don't want to see, I don't want to be spoiled, number one, but I don't want to rehash it all, right? Like, I had an experience this last week, whole other video game, but it reminded me of why I appreciate Blizzard and their attention to polish and completeness before they release a product. And I don't really have anything to say bad about this game in terms of its overall, like, I'm enjoying it, but it's this new Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr thing, which is basically Diablo with the 40K universe. Take a big space marine down to a place, go do a bunch of killing dudes and then get some loot, and it's Diablo, basically. But it's a slower paced kind of Diablo experience. It's not kind of the super action-y part of the... let's say it's a lowercase A in the ARPG. Anyway, that's not really the point. The point is, they launched that thing out of early access, had lots of interest first day, tons of people in there, servers get overloaded, they had a bunch of problems. And so I got in, had a character for a while, got out, did some other stuff, came back to it, and it says, sorry, servers are down for maintenance. I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're having a heavy load. I get it. That's how the stuff goes. Because there's a big co-op online thing going on in there. And I come back later to check my character. Gone. Toast. Poof. Not there anymore. So I was like, I don't know, four levels
in Inquisitor?
Yes. I was like, okay. Three or four levels in. No big deal. It's not like I can't do that again, but I don't want to do that again because I did it already. Like, there's a whole tutorial chunk at the beginning. I don't want to do that over again. But yet I had to, because they had to wipe everybody's characters. And in their mind, they're like, well, it was only, we only had the servers up for a few hours, so we figured it'd be no big deal. And I went, this is why Blizzard's cool. They would never do that to me. Like, I would never have that happen to me in a game they make, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, this is where I would say, well, here we are, spoiled Blizzard gamers with the betas, sometimes better than a lot of other companies' launch products. But I can't say I can't think of ever having a character just disappear on anyone's service, whether it's Blizzard or not. So, right. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
I thought so, too. Now, I understand they're thinking, they're also giving away this free, this weird demon baby pet thing. And I was all in regardless, because I'm a huge 40K fan, as is most people at Blizzard, if you ask them. I mean, StarCraft's lifted from it. But I love it. It's really good. It's fun. I'm having a great time in there. But there's just, there's a few janky things. There was a time where I skipped a cutscene, but then couldn't move my character again and had to restart, or, stuff like that. I never have those level of bugs with Blizzard. And this is a game that has been in early access since mid last year, so they've had plenty of time. So I don't know what the difference is. I don't know what it is that Blizzard does, and others do. There's certainly other companies you could point to and go, "Oh man, they polish stuff to a shine before they release it." But it seems so important to them, and to others, it's just, well, we got to hit our dates. And I know Blizzard is now in a position where they can push stuff off, and if they had to, if there's something really wrong with BFA and they're not ready to launch it in August, Blizzard has no problem saying, well, sorry, guys, next spring. And they can take the hit, right? I mean, they won't do this. I'm sure that they're going to hit their dates. But if they had to, they would. And I've always appreciated that, even though it's a little frustrating on the front of it. You're like, oh, shoot. But they've earned that ability. They've earned that trust. Back in the old days, when they weren't that big of a company, and they would push something like, I don't know, StarCraft Ghost, Rest Its Soul.
Well, they didn't even push it. They just dropped it.
Yeah, they just canceled it, right?
Like, it looked like a finished game. They had a demo playable on the floor of E3. Like,
yeah.
I know you have your predictions for this year, but like, when was the last time you even thought about Blizzard when you hear E3? Like, you don't.
They don't
have a presence there.
No.
Also, like, the thought of going, like, when I think of E3, I think of long lines to play console demos.
Yeah.
Like, Blizzard game on a console, like Diablo aside. Like, that just seems completely bonkers to
me. It's a little bit weird. However, well, there's a couple of signs pointing to that I might be right about E3 next week. Mm-hmm. We'll see. My prediction has been, there's been a lot of back and forth with fans over the last 6 days about how crazy or not I am, but I think there's been some developments. We'll get to those here in a minute.
It's been a while since, honestly, like, we've seen that Blizzard. Like, they've been hitting their dates. They've been hitting their marks. They've been, like, most of their games have been doing really well with regular content, Diablo aside, but I think that's because 4 is coming.
Yeah, not only is 4 coming, but 3 never really had a long-term revenue plan. I mean, they could have kept making expansions and putting out paid content, but I think 4 is going to be a very different kind of focus. And by the way, news on that front as well. There's a lot of really exciting things coming up, and it may happen at E3. And the reason I didn't say this last week, but the other reason I think that E3 might be a possibility this year for Blizzard to do something that we don't currently know about, might be one of the only surprises left since everything else is leaked from every other game or anything anyone's talking about. My thinking is that they've had a presence at so many other cons now, they've made it priority to make sure that Gamescom's a big deal for them, that PAX is a big deal for them. They've gone as far as announcing, you know, they announced Hearthstone at PAX East back when they announced it. So I think that they are, as much as they kind of went, all right, we're all BlizzCon, that's our place to do it, I think they're letting go of that a little bit. And I don't mean BlizzCon will be any less important to them. I just mean they're willing to spread it out a bit because they can. And they're no longer, you know, that's the other thing I like about Blizzard now. Not only do they hit their dates, like you said, they're still taking the time they need to do it. They've just figured out what that time is. And sometimes we don't know about it forever. So I'm guessing if they announce a Diablo 4 at E3 or even BlizzCon, that thing's well in development, and we're not going to wait 6 years like we did last time from
announcement. Yeah, that's the wait from the announcement of Diablo 3 to launch and the wait from the announcement of StarCraft 2 to launch was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was not just ridiculous. It was freaking torture. I hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love I love that they were working hard on it. You know, I'm into that. But freaking, you can't do that anymore. Not in today's games world. You can't announce stuff that far out, not even Blizzard. So whatever they announce this year, I hope that it's been well underway so that it's like, and this, in this fall, there'll be an open beta and everyone will freak out.
I was talking to Kyle about this on Into the Nexus last night. And he was saying that because of the Echoes of Alterac announcement, he was just like, oh, I love it. Heroes did a Hearthstone announcement where like, and next week, URL.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit too later in the show. Very excited about that event. Anyway, character copy. Do it today if you're interested in playing the PTR/beta. Also, for the first time ever, Battle for Azeroth. Well, that goes without saying. For the first time ever, a WoW expansion and World of Warcraft in general will launch in all regions at the exact same time. So no more, here you go, North America. Okay, we'll roll it out to, you know, Europe in a day or two, and then however they spread it out in the past. I know that Europe was always mad because they were late. But they're going to launch in every region at the exact same time. The Americas, Europe, Taiwan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, all of it, all at the same time. Those are kind of your major regional breaks there. So wherever you live, whatever faction you fight for, whatever you're going to do, global launch. Here's how it's going to go. In the Americas, this is Pacific daylight time. I almost say data time. Isn't that weird? Why do I do that?
No, maybe.
I think it's a little weird. Like, I see PDT, I say Pacific data time. In my head, it says that, and I want to say it out loud, and then I have to stop myself. I don't know why. Don't get it. Well, that's why. That's a deal. That's why. So,
Scott, what time can I get into a tens of thousand person queue?
Well, if you are in the Pacific Data Time Zone, you'll get it on August 13th at 3 p.m. That will coincide with the European launch, which will be August 14th, 12 a.m. If you're like say in London, that'll be your time there. So you're getting that at midnight. Super into the idea that we get it in like the afternoon, man. That's awesome.
You get it in the afternoon. I get it at dinner time.
Well, 5 o'clock. That'd be six your time.
Six. Okay. 6 o'clock. Come on, Scott. I live in Florida. Do you know how many early bird specials I'm missing out on if I'm not through the door with my senior citizen card?
I was going to say, this is like you live in Del Boca Vista phase two at this point. Let's see. Taiwan gets it August 14th, 6 a.m. That's, again, these are all the same times. They're just their local times. Korea, South Korea, North Korea don't give a shit. They don't want to play no video games. South Korea gets it at 7 a.m. on the 14th. And on the 14th, ANZ. What does that mean? ANZ? ANZ.
Australia?
Australia and New Zealand? No, that can't be
right. I believe
so. Oh, yeah. Australia, NZ, New Zealand. That makes sense. 8 a.m. Which is UTC 10 p.m. On the 13th of August, if you're looking at sort of the main demarcation of Central Time. So there you go, everybody. Get excited. Yeah.
I really miss the days of being able to lord my time zone over you West Coasters.
Yeah.
I remember being back in when Lich King went live and because they just flipped the switch at 12 a.m. for all the time zones. Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird. Really, really weird. Yeah. I don't know what's happening here to make them do this. In the past, it was always just a careful rollout. Like, you know, make sure everything's okay. Ooh, we didn't notice. We didn't see this. So here's three or four hot fixes before we even have to launch in Europe and that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
I guess they're finally after how many years? They're finally
cool. Yeah, plus with the staggered rollouts, like they had to have been going into panic mode, like thinking about BC because, mm-hmm. I think it went live in America's first. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You remember what happened with Hellfire Peninsula? Oh, they're like, oh, never. Maybe we shouldn't funnel every player in the game to the exact same location.
Yeah. Like, that portal turned out to be a nightmare. It was crazy.
It was complete insanity. I was only like level 40 something. When it launched, so I was just watching my guild chat as everyone just screamed like bad guys at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, don't look at it, Marion. Don't look at it. Shut your eyes, Marion. The other
don't look at the portal.
Don't be
look
tempted.
Away.
It was. I mean, it was almost worse in when Lich King launched because they still hadn't had their whole phasing thing worked out. So. Spending any time in Dalaran was a nightmare. It was so choppy and awful in there. And now it's just no big deal. So I don't know.
Oh, come on, Scott. You know you miss the days of having to look directly at the ground so that your computer can run somewhat smoothly enough so that you can navigate Dalaran.
That's true. I did do that. You'd stare at the ground and run forward. I tried to imagine doing that in real life.
Zoom in really far, yeah. So you didn't see too many like sparkle mounts. And you would navigate just using the mini map. That's how you got to where you needed to get to in the early days of Dalaran.
That's right. We had to look. We had those Core 2 chips. We had to really push them, man. Actually, I don't remember.
Oh my god, Core Duos. Oh,
Core Duos. Remember that? That was a hot thing.
I had one of those up until Cataclysm, I think.
Oh my lord. That's, yeah. I'm sure somebody out there is still playing with one. Probably. Someone in the chat room is going to go, "Yeah, I still do that."
Then I got my first doghouse.
Yeah. Chat room says, Blizzard creates its own DDoS with the release of BFA. It's possible. Like this.
Maybe. I have a feeling if they're doing this, they have a plan and they're ready.
This could be. Yes, I agree with you, but this could go south. It could. I mean, whatever. Stuff could go wrong. There's always issues day one. And sometimes those queues aren't because things are that busy. It's because they are artificially. Being careful, like they're slowly filtering you into a thing and that's okay too. I'm fine with all of these things. I'm just excited that it'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I'm sorry. 4 PM in the afternoon. I still have like 2 hours before I'd eat dinner. You're going to be going, "Oh, I'm hungry. Do I get in or do I eat, bruh? I have to survive, bruh." That's what you'll
do. I guess this makes me want to invite like real life friends over like I used to in college, yeah. and be like, set up the fold out tables. Everyone bring your computer, and we're just going to order like 6 pizzas.
Sounds really good.
I haven't done something like that in a very long time.
Me either. It's been ages. Used to do it all the time for like console stuff. Like, hey, NBA Jam's out for the N64. That's all.
NBA Jam.
But you know, like some kind of multiplayer Mario Kart night or something. But yep. It's been ages since. Like way back in the day, Battlefield, the first Battlefield game, one of the funnest things we did is we would all get together at my brother-in-law had an office that he ran. And so what we'd do is all take our PCs there and get on their LAN and then bring in a ton of food and just play Warcraft 3, Battlefield 1, can't remember what all, but we'd bounce around, maybe a little Unreal tournament or something. That was getting old at that point. And I cannot think of, I think they may have been my favorite Saturdays in the history of Saturdays. I loved it.
It was really fond memories.
Here's the problem though, Garrett. I remember going, won't it be great one day when bandwidth isn't an issue and we can just all be connected and we're all going to be playing from the internet. And then that came and happened, but it feels like not the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same.
It's not. I mean, it's like I love Hearthstone, but it's not the same as playing paper magic at the kitchen table. Like, something is lost along the way. Yeah. I mean, this is your first role-playing experience doing There Will Be Dungeons, right?
Yeah, first time. Well, okay. First time since I was in high school that I played D&D, and the first time I've done anything with doing it live, certainly. Like, we're... These other, like, Bo plays all the time, and so does, you know, Kyle plays. So those guys know what they're doing. I just come in there and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's something lost when you're not doing it, when you're not doing it in person.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. It's fun. That's the whole reason BlizzCon is as special as it is. It's like, oh my God, it's like we're here in person and we can interact as real human beings.
Yeah, like, we're here, get used to it, is how the whole phrase goes. I might have forgotten.
Well, that's what we say to the people with yellow signs as you're going in the conference.
We're here. We're queer. We worship the devil. We call him Diablo. He gives us fat loot. I love that. Those guys there.
I mean,
dude.
If anything, we're training to defeat the devil. I don't know what they're so mad about.
I don't know how they do that. Like, I don't. Side note. Okay. So at BlizzCon, if you have never been or if you haven't seen pictures, there's always like a bunch of picketers there with big yellow signs that are saying Jesus saves, Diablo kills, or, you know, whatever. So it's a bunch of, you know, hardcore Christians with, sometimes they have little megaphones and microphones, sometimes they don't. I think they had to stop doing that because we were getting in trouble for it because there's noise ordinances or the property doesn't allow it or whatever. But anyway, they're allowed to sort of protest and walk around and whatever. And I could never do that. Like, it doesn't matter. Even if I was the most like pious religious dude ever, I couldn't do it. It just seems so like antithetical to what you claim to believe. Like, in other words, like, here's how I look at it, not to get into some deep weeds here, but if but if I'm a super big believer that playing a video game with Diablo in it, or, you know, demons in World of Warcraft is a pathway straight to hell, fine, don't play the game, I guess. Tell your kids not to play them because they're your kids, but, you know, don't do it. You stay away from it because you get to choose that. That's a fundamental right you have, is to choose to believe in your little wackadoo extreme. In my case, I choose to think that Diablo's a video game with no real repercussions in that regard. And so I choose to play that. And to go in there and obstruct other people, or to at least get in their face and tell them that their choice is less valid than mine, I don't understand it. Like, every time I see those guys every year, I just kind of scratch my head and go, all right, also you look weird because there's a huge Reinhardt standing next to you, because that's weird. And look, there's a gnome over on that other side. Like, what are we even doing here? It's just weird.
I mean, my favorite thing to come out of that is when, like, all the Diablo cosplayers get together and gather around the protesters for a photo op.
Yeah,
that's my favorite side effect of those protests being at BlizzCon. But I get where you're coming from, Scott. I mean, It's I've like always anything. Assumed that it's the like false idolatry yeah. thing that yeah. they're probably getting on about sure. with their with the yellow signs.
Sure.
But to that, I'll say like, I went to church a lot as a kid. I don't really anymore, but for me, BlizzCon is reminds me of that, like the community aspect of it, and I think it just depends on what you focus on, man. Like,
yeah,
you
it's almost BlizzCon, like you church. You're right. It is a lot like church in that. We're finding there's support in there. There's friends and family. I take my kids and my wife, and it's a family experience for us. I see all my friends again. It's communal. Now, what's going on at the Hilton Bar? I got no opinion on that.
Yeah, listen, if you're showing up just because you really, I don't know, you got a thing for people who dress up in Draenei cosplay and you want to throw keys into a bowl in your hotel room, that's your prerogative. But yeah. But it depends on what you focus on, right? That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, there's a lot of charities around BlizzCon. There's a lot of goodwill around BlizzCon. So I've never understood that.
They they focus on Kill Jaden. Oh, he's big and red, and he's like a devil man. That's my problem. It's like you're worried about cartoons. Cut it out. Freaking go home. Do something nice for somebody. Like, go do a little charity work or something. Do something nice. That's what I grew up in church learning, is how to go do something nice for somebody. Not stand around with a sign acting like you're better than somebody else. Anyway, yeah. Didn't know I'd go down this path.
We just played video games for 5 hours straight like idiots on Saturday, and wonderful people donated over $5,000 to help children.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's all about how you look at it.
Yep, and look at Diablo. He's all in that, running around, shoving people, picking them up, throwing them over his shoulder, like being a real bastard. But $5,000+ for charity, $500 of which, by the way, was because Garrett was told if this person donated, he would have to go buy, or I can't remember how it went, but you had to buy.
I wasn't targeting one person, be like, hey, you dude over there, you need to donate $500 and I will buy Monkey Brightwing. It was if we hit our goal, yeah. I will buy Monkey Brightwing.
And did.
Someone was just like, oh, what is it, $500? Okay, boom, $500.
He used his precious shards and bought Monkey Brightwing skin.
I love the idea of me intimidating someone into a giant donation.
I know.
Buy a skin I hate.
$500 that guy donated. That was crazy. Anyway, you guys killed it last weekend. I should have mentioned that. It went really well, and we had a blast. And thanks, everybody, for participating who did. Some more E3 stuff. It leads me to think even more things may happen at E3, although this is kind of a small one. But the WoW team is doing a storytelling panel, at E3 next week. World of Warcraft Storying Panel, Bringing a Robust Universe to Life Through Different Mediums is the subtitle. This will feature Steve Danzur, senior narrative designer at Blizzard, Taryn Gregory, who we know, project director at Blizzard, and Christy Golden will be there, who is, her title at Blizzard is senior writer. They say this in their press release: join members of the World of Warcraft team as they break down the tricks to bringing World of Warcraft universe alive through story, from books to video, in-game storytelling. The rich narrative of WoW unfolds for fans across multiple forms of media as the team expands on the personalities that fans have come to care about. Whether you are for the Alliance or for the Horde, stop by and get insight on the story that is still wowing people even after 14 years, they say.
Oh, it's a lovely little pun at the end there.
Wowing people. They hired like a Huffington Post writer or somebody to write.
I was
that.
About to say, fire your Huffington Post.
That's totally
a line writer there. But this is a great collection of people I have a lot of respect for that are going to talk about some really nerdy stuff.
Yeah. If I was going, I'd totally go to this. It'll be live streamed, I understand, I think.
I hope so. I want to watch this.
Wednesday? Shoot, I had the time and I lost it. Shoot. I'll see if I can find that and put it in the show notes.
This is why you always leave a link.
I know. Sometimes I, can't be bothered. But it is next Wednesday, which is, I don't know, E3 starting so early this year. Like tomorrow, EA's conference, a bunch of other stuff happened tomorrow. Saturday, a bunch of stuff. Like, they're just doing everything early, earlier and earlier. It's weird. They may as well just shift E3 a week back now because they're just doing it all early now. It's really weird. Anyway, so that's going to happen. While we're on the subject of story, let's actually jump ahead for a second and talk about the WoW comic called Three Sisters. It just came out. You can read the thing in its entirety on the official World of Warcraft site. Or you can download the PDF and jam it in your reader or whatever you're using to read comics these days. It is a story, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's about the three sisters, the Windrunner sisters. Teresa, Bella, and Monkey Boy. They're our favorites.
Or Verisa, Illyria, and Sylvanas.
Oh, right. That's the other names they go by. You're right.
I mean, they have these little like weird sister pet names for each other, but...
Yeah, well, don't we all?
They were also not what you said. So. No.
Not at all what I said. I'm going to say this just right off the bat. We're not going to, you know, spoil it because I think people should go read it. But there are two things I really like about it. I think the story's good. And I've always been interested in the story of these three sisters and how they're in such different places these days. And I think the cover art is really cool. I don't like the rest of the art very much. And I don't know why. Something just doesn't work for me. Can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, I'm with you, except I can put my finger on it. Put your finger on it. But I also feel bad about nitpicking and...
No. Put your finger on it. Slam your finger down. I want to hear. Why?
Oh, God. I don't like... Because, I don't know. Art is so personal, man. Like, I feel bad judging other people's art. Like, I went to art school. Like, I went to an illustration track and it was all about critique, right? So like, it doesn't bother me when someone's like, hey man, this sucks, you need to do this better, but not everyone's like that, so I feel weird. But it's just, to me, it's too realistic. Like, this almost looks, some of this almost looks traced. Like, it's Uncanny Valley with some of this stuff,
like some of the gear in there. It
makes the faces, man, they're too human. Warcraft is a very distinct style that's almost 80s in the way it approaches its stylization.
Yeah.
And this is not it.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me either, and I don't know why. I'm actually, you're articulating it better than me. I also went to art school, also did a lot of critiquing, and I cannot put my finger on it. Like, there's just something about it that's not my bag, and I don't know why. But I like the story. The story's good.
Yeah. The story is fantastic. I really dug this. This is the first time that these lead up into Battle for Azeroth comics has even been brought to my attention. Apparently this is the third one. I guess I need to go back and read the other two. Mm-hmm. But I saw it making the rounds. I'm a huge Sylvanas fanboy. So obviously I read this and it is worth the read. There's this goes some dark places.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. I mean, I don't know that it resolves anything for people worried about where Sylvanas specifically is headed in this expansion. They don't really, I mean, there's a lot of background stuff here. And
I'm still holding out. I don't know. Like, if anything, I think this sets up some stuff that I think this is the first boot coming down that sets up the boot being dropped at the beginning of BFA.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just say read it, man. It's real good. Whether you like the art, whether it's your jam, whether you're an art snob and you're like, ooh, I don't know about drawing individual teeth.
yeah, I mean, and this it's a really good point. Like, it goes against the normal Blizzard effort, which seems to be stylization over realism. And it's not that this is ultra realistic, but there's a leaning toward that makes it feel like, I don't know, just unnecessary. Like the one that was right before this, the Magni one. Forgot the name of it. Anyway, the Magni comic that came out a couple weeks ago. That art is perfect for what it's supposed to be. I really like it. Totally dig it. I think it could have been that here, but whatever. It is what it is. And it's fine. It does the job. It illustrates the story. That's the important thing. Most people aren't going to care. But I knew that you and I would probably be sticks in the mud on it.
Oh, now I'm going back and looking at this Magni comic. This style is rad.
Yeah, who the Magni one is really good.
It almost looks like
super cool. Let's see, Magni. I forgot the name of the damn thing. What's the name of the comic?
It's just called Magni the Speaker.
Oh, I thought it was Fault Lines. Oh, that's something else. Yeah, the Speaker.
Not familiar with this artist, but this style is
it's
rad.
Cool, right? Like, it's broader strokes. It's, I don't know, it's just more Blizzard to me.
Looks like almost like a dry brush. I like it.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm sure it's digital, but it's...
Yeah. Yeah, but it has that kind of dry brush style. Anyway, sorry, this is really visual talk for an audio show.
It really is. Chat room is seeing visions of it, or pictures of it, because I'm putting them up. But for you at home listening, why aren't you here on the live show? lame. Just,
really, I just want to say, go read Three Sisters. It's the story is rad.
Oh yeah, I can't recommend it enough. It's really
good. And also, can you give these stories to Taron Gregory? Can we just see these in game, like fully animated? Because that's how I want to consume this stuff.
Oh, that reminds me. I haven't seen it yet, but that I hear there's a new little cinematic out for Hearthstone. I'm sure it's rad. I guess you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I think it's kind of weird.
Really?
Like, I think it's kind of strange. There's some, like, they're clearly going for like a Disney Pixar thing, but it's about getting packs. And I'm like, is this like kind of, I'm watching this and I'm like, are you just trying to get kids to buy card packs? Because that's how I'm reading this.
Well, the GIF I saw showed the Night Elf guy or Blood Elf guy burning cards into dust.
That's the best part of it, in my opinion.
And that to me is like, great. It's almost like a tutorial. It's like, did you know that if you get a bunch of cards you don't want, you can just dust them and then maybe you can get the cards?
Oh, no, you should go watch it, because to me that was my favorite part of the whole thing, because it's like, it's going around the tavern and Everyone's opening their packs and everyone's getting really excited and it goes to him and he's just like, have it, and he's dusting his cards.
Yeah, no,
Basically like everyone who plays Hearthstone on Twitch who's really cynical and has spent too much time with the game. and everyone else is having a great time.
That's awesome. All right, I'm going to go watch it after the show today. I meant to this morning and I got busy, but I'm going to go check it out.
The style is gorgeous. Like, the execution is really good. I just, the narrative landed on me in a weird way.
Buy more cards, basically, is what they're saying. Good job.
Sort of, kind of. It's also a promotion for free pack day, so they're going to be giving away free packs, but...
There you go.
I found it odd.
Well, speaking of odd... this is, to me, is odd. I don't know how odd this is going to be to everybody else, but there was a movie auction for the movie Warcraft. You may have heard of it. It came out in 2016.
I saw it twice in theaters.
I did as well. And in fact, we did it, had a big meetup here for around that time, or a whole bunch of people came to it, and it was really a good time, had a lot of fun. You know, feelings on the movie itself are still varied, but they had an auction for a bunch of props from the movie. And I'm just a little shocked at how much stuff went for. So I just wanted to run a few of these down. King Lane's, played by Dominic Cooper, his battle armor with the shield, $60,000.
I mean, for that much money, you better get the whole set of armor and the shield.
That's what I'm saying. His also hero close-up steel blade sword and sheath, $51,000. That's on its own. Lothar's, he was played by Travis Fimmel from your Vikings show. Alliance armor with sword, $41,000. A couple more shields for $31,000, $25,000. Let's see, Lothar's close-up of the steel blade and sword and sheath, $21,000. Let's see, we got Orgrim's Doomhammer is an interesting one, played by Robert Kaczynski. His Doomhammer went for $12,000. the throne that Dominic Cooper sat on, $10,000 just for his throne.
That honestly seems low.
Yeah, a little
low. I feel
low.
Like the throne would go for more. That throne prop was incredible.
Yeah, what cracked me up is, well, that's the thing about those props is, I bet if you got up next to them, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this thing doesn't even have a back to it. It's all hollowed out. Like, it's probably really ornate on the facing front of it and then just kind of shitty in the back. But
well, put it up against the wall. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd do it. I'd put it right over there. No, I'd sit in it here.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's what you sit in to do podcasts. What are you talking about?
That'd be my new podcasting throne. Right now, it's the toilet. Just kidding. Anyway.
Honestly, I think this is backwards, by the way. I think the basic Alliance Knight armor is infinitely cooler than King Lane's armor.
I agree. Even though...
That is just Warcraft to me. Like, looking at the background, like, vanilla knights 1-5...
Well, it's the footmen, right? From Warcraft 2. They just all, they look like footmen. I'd love footmen armor.
They did such a good job translating that into something that a real human would have to wear. Someone that doesn't have the shoulders the size of like a Greyhound bus.
Yeah. I mean, I would want, the Doomhammer is the thing in all this that I would want the most. But $12,000, dude. Oh my gosh. I could commission commission a prop from somebody and it would be a whole lot cheaper than that. My favorite thing on here, though, is there is a food tray that what's her name, the half orc, half human. What's her name?
Oh my god! I almost said Gamora.
Virginia Gamora. Yeah, I want to say Gamora also because she's green.
Yeah.
Ginger Von Putricide. I don't remember her name. Anyway, she has, when she was in prison or she was in jail, she had a plate of food, like
Corona.
Corona, yeah.
She had like a food tray
that they would like kick under the bars, and that's what she would eat. That food tray went for $335. So there's that.
I wouldn't mind a Warcraft food tray.
I'd take any of these things. I think it's really cool. King Lalaine's ring, his Dominic Cooper ring, is $18,000. $18,000 for that king's ring.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Who buys this? Wow. Who are the buyers? They don't say, by the way, because it's a silent auction thing where they don't say the names, as far as I know. But I don't know who's doing this. And was it one person buy a lot of these, or was it like one?
I'll tell you what I'm still kicking myself for. I mean, I couldn't have been more broke back when they first started selling them. But I still wish I had ponied up for a server blade when they were first auctioning those off.
Yeah, that was cool.
They had multiple Lightbringer blades, and that was the first server I played on.
What was the price at the time? They were like 500 or 250.
You could get one for under a grand. I want one so bad.
If you can still get, let's just quick, this will be fun. Let's check eBay. eBay, let's see. Warcraft.
See what people are selling World of Warcraft server blades for?
Yeah. And there's a pre-built search for this. So somebody out there is looking for this. Okay. So,
oh my God. The first one that pops up is almost $4,000.
Oh yeah. Look at that.
Next one is almost $6,000.
Here's a World of Warcraft. I found one for World of Warcraft. Oh, this already, did it already sell? Oh, it ended. World of Warcraft retired Velen US server blade went for $450. That's not bad.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I only see two on eBay at the moment.
This is
I love that they have to mark them as pre-owned.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, technically, I guess someone had to. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Whatever. The idea that we were all running around on one of those blades is such a great idea anyway. It's such a cool visual. It's like playing, it's like Tron. We got scanned in and sent into this little shard. It's all different now. They don't have blades anymore. It's all different. It's like big cloud-based mesh network weirdness. It's like not even close to what it used to be. So those days are gone, everybody. If you didn't get one, you're hosed. All right. What else? Oh, quick note. I've been playing a monk for no reason that I can describe, except I decided to go check him out. So I had this monk. He's like level 20. And I don't know why I never finished doing anything with him. It was back in early Pandaria days, and his name is Ding Pong. Yeah, that's correct. Ding Pong. for those who remember my old Ding Pong references.
It's a long story. Remember the last time you did a Ding Pong.
Oh, I don't do those anymore. I feel like they get me in trouble. Like, I used to do them because it was basically my brother's accent. I have an adopted Korean brother, and he has a very strong accent. And so when I would do that, that's just me, you know, fudging my brother's accent. But I don't know.
Anything that requires that much explanation is, I can understand why you probably don't do it as much anymore.
Yeah. Cause I have to give that explanation or else everyone's like, that is racist. Like, people really get after me for it. So, and I understand, I totally get it. And it's fine. I don't mind retiring the voice, but at the time I thought, hey, it'd be funny if I named him Ding Pong, cause he's a panda, he's a Pandarian, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. So I did, went to play him. Well, I think it's D-Y-N-G Pong. So there's no I, it's with a Y. Which is very Warcraft namey, I thought. Anyway, point is, went back to check on him. And of course, this is a billion patches ago and expansions ago and everything else. And so as soon as I logged in, like his action bar is just a nightmare. I don't know. I don't know what's real in there anymore. Like, there's some faded out stuff that's not even in the game anymore. Like, it's all jacked up and he's standing out in Ashara somewhere. And so this was the thought I had. The reason I'm bringing this up is all I could do while I played him was I just felt tempted the entire time to just go start a level one monk. And this, herein lies my thing. This game, you could apply this to anything. I was doing this with Path of Exile the other day. Certain other characters I have in Diablo that are level 70, but I never really took them too far into Paragons or anything, or, you know, tried to get them up into higher torments. When you do that and you just have had hands off for a long time and then you go back to it, your muscle memory is not ready for it and you don't remember what the hell they do or how they work or what's going on. And I'm always tempted to just go, let's just start at one, because then I got the whole lean in, you know, like it's, oh, you start with that ability, do you? Oh, yeah, at that one later. Oh, I see how those are a good combo and how that rotation's smart because you're piecemealing it to me. When I go in at level 20, it'd be one thing if it was like level 110 and I just go, oh, well, okay, everything's here, so now I'll just go. But at level 20, you're like, I don't know what he does. He rolls twice. Great. Good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree, but that's also what fan sites are for. Like, just do a little bit reading up of a rotation because the second you change specs, you're in the same problem. What are you going to do? Reroll level one and level it as a new spec so they can piecemeal you the stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to handle it. So now I'm getting this itch to go play him, and I don't know why. Again, it's not really, I don't even know if it's a character I'd want to see through. I don't feel like boosting anybody because that's expensive and I don't have any free boosts right now. So
I'm still sitting on my BFA boost because I'm indecisive. I can't decide what I like with all the allied races coming in. Yeah. I'm like, I just know I'm going to unlock like a sweet ass troll and I'm going to wish I had a max level one.
Oh yeah, totally. That's what I'm doing. I'm waiting for those trolls. He stands upright. That's why I like him.
I can't decide what if I'm more excited for upright orcs or upright trolls.
I am excited for... I don't know which one I'm over to. I think
we
trolls.
Had this discussion on the show already, but if they're just like, oh, by the way, you can get boots to cover your troll toes, like then I'm just like, done, making a troll. That's all, that's it. That will win. But upright orcs with covered toes or upright trolls with uncovered toes, it's kind of a toss-up for me.
Right. Those toes are a real deal breaker, man. Stupid looking things. They're so dumb and dope.
Yeah, no, I get what you're talking about though. I just because I finally unlocked Draenor Flying, I'm like, ooh, yes, sweet. Okay, I'm going to go level up my Alliance tunes so
well,
I can play with
see,
my wife.
Chat room reminds me, it's a good point to ask. Do you not, how much do you care about heritage armor? Because you can't get that unless you level that tune from 20.
It depends on the heritage armor.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I don't care about the Nightfallen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like their heritage armor all that much.
Yeah. They're cool otherwise, but the heritage armor for those guys is kind of no big deal. I kind of agree. Yeah. And part of it is how much of my time do I value? Like, do I really want to do that for a cosmetic that I may not even use? Cause I'll have other ideas for how I'm going to transmog him. You know what I mean? Like,
I tend to, ever since transmog came in, like I have a lot more fond memories of older sets. So I always kind of end up using them.
Yeah.
So the heritage armor isn't as much of a pull to me as new races.
Did we talk about my Mad Max junk gun last week? We did, I think. How GURPS gun
no,
is...
not last week. Maybe if you did, it might have been the week I was traveling.
Maybe that was it. I don't remember now, but there was a... So in the chat room will remind me if I'm... I don't remember when I said this. It may have been another show, but in your garrisons, you had that shop that was like a junk shop, right?
Yeah, and the salvage yard.
Salvage yard. And you just get all kinds of hooch in there. In fact, a lot of times, GURPS Perfect Arrow would show up in there. Used to be special. Now it's a
junk.
That's
how I got it, actually.
Great, great.
And then eventually I got like five more, and I just started selling those things.
Well, so some time ago, so this would have been back in Warlords, one of the drops was this gun that I don't know when this thing showed up, but it's this just gnarly, old-looking, like Mad Max-looking shotgun gun. And it's got like, there's a knife underneath and it's wrapped with what looks like tape or, you know, thin leather. And it's just this gnarly, cool model, but it's a white, it's never been a special gun, but I love that model so much that was my gun all the way through Legion on all three specs of my Hunter, because I like it so much more than the artifact weapons. And I think that's just awesome that the game lets you do that now, but it makes me less excited for some of the stuff like heritage armor, because I'm just like, it's all right, but I'm gonna find something I like better probably. And I don't know, it's kind of weird.
You have so much to choose from now, especially when you've been playing as long as you or I have.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches, that's what I'll call it. Hey, real quick here before we move on, I want to talk about our good friends over at Simple Contacts. Look, I wear contact lenses for various things, like when I'm out doing sporty stuff, jogging, riding my bike, whatever. And I always find myself dreading that annual appointment to renew my prescription. That's why I was excited to try Simple Contacts, a great new app that makes, all that time-consuming process of getting a prescription easy and simple. That's important. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and order your brand of lenses, and whatever your brand may be, they have them, from anywhere in minutes. They bring the doctor's office right to you. The vision test is designed by doctors, and every test is carefully reviewed by a doctor. Simple Contacts offers an amazing selection with every brand of lenses, and their prices are hard to beat. The eye exam is just $20, and they offer free shipping. Please note, Simple Contacts Vision isn't a replacement for your, or the vision test isn't a replacement for your periodic health exam. So, you know, get your eyes checked here and there. We're just talking about getting that prescription updated. So, I love them. It's been great. I have a very comfortable brand that I really like. I can get that through them. And the test was so easy. I literally looked at a webcam for the web version of it. You can do the same thing on the phone version, and boom, you're in. To save $30 on your first Simple Contacts order, go to simplecontacts.com/wow and enter the promo code WOW at checkout. That's $30 off your first order when you go to simplecontacts.com/wow and enter the promo code WOW. Okay. So we'll see how it goes with the monk. I don't know how things are going to go, but I do know this. Time to talk about the rest of Blizzard and what's going on. As we mentioned earlier, Heroes of the Storm is getting an event called Echoes of Alterac. I keep saying Alarak, as I know everyone else is too.
You and Kyle both.
Yeah, it's hard because when you play enough Heroes and you see Alarak all the time, your healing is sufficient, I suppose, or whatever bullshit he's always yelling at me. He's such a dick. But anyway... Because of that, I get the names mixed up. But anyway, Echoes of Alterac. Yeah, that's right. Connected to Alterac Valley. And the new character player, the new tank they're releasing with the game is Urel. She will be on the PTR as of... No, she'll be released Tuesday. She's been on the She's on the PTR now. You may remember Urel as the Alliance side. Basically, most of your story happened through her when you played through Warlords of Draenor. And she's a fan favorite. People really like her. She's a... Draenei goat lady, and she's got stuff to say. So anyway,
yeah, she seems to be the kind of happy-go-lucky version that we first meet in Draenor, and not the militant, borderline genocidal character that she seems to be turning into.
Yeah, Heroes likes to get those first. They did that with Jaina. Jaina is the happy. I'm just here to help, kind of Jaina. Not the...
I hate resorting to violence.
Right. Not the one where you click on her now and she's like, I will destroy anyone who comes near me, Theramore. Bah.
They have the Theramore skin in there. I want them to change up. I want them to give her some angry lines if you choose that skin.
They have some angry stuff coming out of her for her Death Knight thing.
They all got that.
Yeah, that's true.
Her Dreadlord thing, because Jaina's not a Dreadlord. Yeah.
So Urel is awesome. We had a big argument on Core whether you're supposed to pronounce her name Urel or not, but that's how Blizzard pronounces it, so F off, everybody. That's how they say it.
I always said it Erel in my head.
Erel?
Erel. But Urel makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, electronic Rel. Also, she's a tank, and she seems interesting, and I'm pretty stoked about her. What's going on in Hearthstone besides we mentioned the animated short? What else are they doing? I guess there's some controversy about a couple of nerfs this last week or something I heard about.
The 11.2 update went live, and they changed Tess Greymane to behave like Yogg-Saron and really ruffled a lot of players' feathers. A lot of prominent community members like Brian Kibler and Disguised Toast went on rather long Twitter threads that you can read if you go check out their Twitters. Yeah. And I don't think they were wrong. And Blizzard announced yesterday that they're going to revert that change. So Tess is going to work like she always has.
Oh, that's good. Is she married to Gen Greymane, lore wise?
That would be the daughter.
Oh, this is okay. Well, we don't want any funny business there. That is creepy. Yeah, you can't marry your own kid. I don't know. Stuff. Listen, Gilneas is weird. It's kind of shut off from everything. Everybody can be a wolf in there if they want to. Maybe they have different societal norms and rules, is all I'm saying. They're all furries.
We're crying out loud.
They're all furries in Gilneas. All right. Diablo 4, or whatever it's going to be called, all but confirmed at this point. I know I've been talking a lot of hot talk about what I thought was going to happen, but it seems like maybe I got some confirmation right after we recorded. Well, maybe just a couple days ago, but... There is another job listing at Blizzard known as, or called, or titled Dungeon Creator or Designer, Dungeon Designer for Unannounced Diablo Project. There's a new Diablo game being made. Duh, everybody. It's not a big shock. Don't freak yourselves out. This all seems like it was written on the wall before. We heard this.
I mean, if there wasn't, like, there would have been a story by now of 75% of Diablo team laid off.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
What, they've been working on something. This should be a surprise to no one.
Plus, it doesn't, it feels like we've had other announcements of other job openings that seem to confirm this years ago, even.
I could have sworn there was too, but like the way headlines are going nuts with this, I'm just like, am I just remembering incorrectly? But no, I could have sworn.
You're not wrong. I think there were, and it was just so early though, and the, like, this was maybe even right after the expansion, and so in our heads it's just like, oh well, they're just working on groundwork for whatever the future is. But this seemed a little more substantial. Doesn't really say whether or not we're going to hear anything at E3, but I still hold out hope, man. I'm telling you, Activision has jack to show. They have an expansion for Destiny. They have their COD 4 or their Black Ops 4 game. And that's it. And then they have Blizzard doing all this other cool stuff that normally doesn't show at E3. I'm telling you, there's a space there. Just get in there. Lights go down. Stare a while and listen. And the whole place loses their freaking mind. And Diablo 4 is announced. Done.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready. Diablo 3, you know, was off to a rocky start, but Reaper of Souls, man.
Like, no, I play it every day, at least a rift a day.
Such a good game.
I love Diablo. I still love it. In fact, I play other action RPGs, and I get mad that they don't play as good as Diablo does. Like, I love and admire Path of Exile, because it's constant new content, new expansion, new stuff all the time, new end game. They're always doing neat things with it. But it doesn't play as good as Diablo 3. And I just mean the minute-to-minute casting and buttons and cooldowns and stuff and stuff and stuff. Like, it just, it's this fluid dance in D3 that I love. Would I like more content in D3? Yes, I would. That's always going to be true. But they also don't have the same business model. And I understand why these things happen, and 2012 is different than 2018 and blah, blah, blah. But my point is, it just feels so good. If I could just apply the gameplay of Diablo to all other action RPGs, I might never do anything else with my life.
What do you want from Diablo 4, by the way? Because me, I kind of want it not to have the 4 after the name. I kind of want them to just be like, this is Diablo, and it's going to be a service, and we're going to update it as much as you wish we updated 3.
I want that, what you said. Yeah. I don't, you know, if they call whatever they call it, I don't care so much. Although I think it is an opportunity for them just to go like Diablo, colon, Diablo's colon. There you go. The primeval. I don't know what they're going to do, but they could call it whatever. Call it Diablo if you want. Just give it a big flagship name. It's a game as a service in terms of like a lot of other their games are, like, you know, the way it works with Overwatch and Hearthstone and everything else. And doesn't even have to be free to play. I will gladly pay for it. I'll do whatever they want, honestly. I'll hump their leg. I don't care. I'm ready. I am so ready, dude. I was hoping Patrick would be here today to help me confirm this, but it looks like Overwatch is getting 3 times the XP this weekend. So you're getting, just to celebrate their third year of launch, I guess. Is this their third year? Yeah, third year.
God, has it already been 3 years?
I think that's right. Because what's his name? Jeff Kaplan got up in a video and went like this, put up his 3 fingers, and that was like an indicator that they're going to do 3x XP all weekend. So if you were really looking forward to grinding out some of these hot new skins and everything, perhaps now is your time.
It's been 2 years.
Is it 2 years?
Yeah, it released in May of 16.
Why did he say... Why did he hold up his... Why did he say 3? Do I have that wrong and it's only 2x this weekend? Because that's no big deal.
Gotta be 2x.
Oh, that's lame. I could have sworn he put up... Maybe he was flipping us off and it was just 1x.
Overwatch offers double XP during anniversary event.
Okay. And I'm confusing it because Heroes is at 3 years now. That's what I've done there.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, 3 years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just had the 3 year for Heroes. We got the banner and the spray. Or did we get a spray? I think it was just a banner.
Who knows? I one thing I forgot to mention about Diablo. Diablo 3's new season 14. They're doing a theme. They're going to start adding themes to seasons. If you care about seasons, this will matter. If you don't care, then this is not going to matter. But part of that season will be, if you're starting a new seasonal character, whenever a goblin would appear normally, a treasure goblin of any of the types, you will always get 2 of them now. So basically, you're just doubling goblin stuff, which means you'll get... It's called the Season of Greed, I think. And it's interesting. Just get a bunch more money early on, that sort of stuff. So watch for that. Oh, and potentially you'd end up in the greed realm and what else? Other stuff those things do.
I love that realm, and I love the noise that treasure goblins make. So
I wish that realm was more active across the game. Like, I wish it was a thing I could end up in a rift just for no reason, just to fight. I don't need to. Doesn't have to have all the gold or anything. I just love that zone. It's so cool.
Yeah, I like the tile set. It's just like, hey, do you ever want to go into the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin, but it looks like a Frazetta painting? Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, we'll see how that goes. That's pretty much it for what's going on around Blizzard. Let's do this. Whoops. Wait. Gosh dang it. There it is.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, it is the Town Crier. That boy just graduated high school, so you guys know. Think of that. In fact, he's over. What's he doing right now? I don't know what he's out. He's over applying at some job this morning. So.
And next week, I'll be moving into a retirement community.
Well, when you started listening to The Instance, Nick would have been like 5 or 6, something like that, right?
Yeah, I started listening in 2009.
Yeah, so he'd have been like 8 and a half. So he's just a little kid.
I have lived long enough to watch that young child go just barrel straight through acne and back to looking like a normal human.
Yeah. Now he's, you know, he's a big boy now. It's weird. I don't like it. Time sucks. F time. Here's an email we got from Simon. Emails, by the way, come to us at theinstance@gmail.com, or if you go to theinstance.net, there's a contact link now at the top of the page. There's also comments on all the show notes. And show notes include links and other cool stuff now. So show notes are back, everybody. They're back in. Yep. And there's always the YouTube version, which ends up with comments as well. So anyway, all that stuff. Hey, he says this. Simon says, hi, Scott. Simon says, I didn't mean to do that. That was not on purpose. Simon says, that's real dumb.
I mean, you meant to do it. Just.
Yeah. It came out, but I had not planned it to come out. It's like a shart, really. Anyway. Hi, Scott and team. I've recently returned to WoW after a 6-month break, and last night I LFR'd the Antorus raid for the first time, mainly to find out where the Legion storyline ends. At the end of the cinematic climax, I was left disappointed and with more questions than answers. I thought maybe you'd be able to bring your Titan-like brains to bear. Well, he is really expecting a lot of us, I'm telling you that. the whole ending seemed disjointed. Where did Sargeras suddenly appear from, and how was he so quickly subdued and captured by the gods? He'd single-handedly defeated a millennia ago. What is Illidan staying behind for exactly? Do you think that chunks of dialogue were left out that might have explained things more clearly? It just seems a shame that after all these years of Sargeras being the big bad, his story ended so abruptly. And by the way, his description is pretty spoiler-free, so thank you for that. I mean, generally. We always assume the bad guy either disappears, dies, or sneaks off somewhere, so I don't think that's a spoiler. But anyway, I don't know, like, yeah, sometimes this stuff's hard to sew up. It's actually why every time Blizzard fiddles with, like, gods and titans, I get a little, these are dangerous waters. It's like time travel. You're just kind of asking for problems in story loops. So I think that's just a case of this. Like, yeah, they're gods and he may have beat him a millennia ago, but thanks to you and your 15 trusty heroes, you put him in a place where he could finally be subdued by the gods, and it's fine. None of this stuff's going to be, you know, you're not going to go at the end of these raids go, oh, the most satisfying of stories. I now can sleep for my own millennia, knowing, you know, like, you're not going to do that. No one's going to be perfectly happy. So,
yeah, and I don't believe Sargeras is dead. I believe I think the official lore is that he's been re-imprisoned.
Yeah.
For 10,000 years. He could pop back up again, and I would bet at some point he will, because he's Sargeras.
That's what Blizzard does. They don't put anybody to sleep for good. They come back.
Yeah. But I think we should definitely be putting him and Illidan kind of away for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. We're done. I think we need to be done with demons for a while, generally speaking. Which those guys carrying signs at BlizzCon will be thrilled to hear about. I wonder how
now we'll just be fighting each other. Well, and probably Nazoth.
They love a good just regular war between people, you know, with real bloodshed and stuff like Battle for Azeroth. They like that. They're into that. Oh, the emails are flowing already. All right. Anyway, hey.
Is that canon? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Probably not. Thank you, Simon, for your email. You're the man. Thank you for your email. And if you'd like to send in your own emails, once again, theinstance@gmail.com is the address. All right. Before we get out of here, a huge thanks, everybody, for being here, by the way. Always a pleasure to have you among us. Garrett, people should go where to get more Garrett?
Amove.tv. As I mentioned last week, our monthly Star Wars podcast with Tom Merritt and Jenny Josephson, Let's Talk About Star Wars, is up. It's our solo spoiler episode, so go listen to that. We have a special episode that will be happening very soon. That's all I can say.
Ooh.
But it's going to be very exciting. Other than that, Amove.tv for everything else. Plenty of Heroes and Hearthstone coverage over there. And that's basically it. Check out nomoonart.com if you need a graphic designer.
Oh, yeah. No, and he's good. Here's the other thing. We may as well just do this now. So here's our chance to just make this more official. Every week somebody comes and goes, is Garrett on here all the time now then? Is this an official? Is this a thing?
What? Why is that their voice?
I don't know. I don't know why that's their thing. I don't know why I went there. But yes, he's here. As often as he's here as he can be, he's here. Consider Garrett a part of the instance now. All right.
Yay.
So quit asking me, everybody. It
just kind of happened.
It did just kind of happen. And it makes sense. And I'll tell you what, the reason it makes sense is because it occurs to me over the last couple of weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, that the chemistry's good. So we're keeping it that way. We're going to keep it going. It's good. Doesn't mean you won't see the Euro trash once in a while. They're just busy. They got stuff. But this means you're also going to get shows a lot more consistently, I think, because Garrett and I are always here because we're in the United States where we care about stuff like this.
I mean, really, just for me, it works out. Like Friday mornings, get up, have my coffee.
Yeah.
And, Scott needs someone to fill in again. I guess I'll sit in on the instance.
Like, yeah.
That's basically how this happened.
It's a big deal. So if you are liking it, I'm glad to hear that.
Sidian wants to know, yeah, but are you in a podcasting relationship on Facebook?
Well,
we're Facebook official.
Someone's been shipping us. That's what's going on behind our backs.
I don't want to see that fan art. I don't want to read your fanfic.
No, no. In fact, you know what's funny? So in Core, I was trying to find fan art for Urel to put up on the stream.
Oh,
and you got to be careful. Yeah, you got to be careful. There's
a lot of Draenei porn, Scott.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
More than you'd... Well, whatever.
There's exactly as much as I would think.
I
had friends that knew how to make money in art school, so this doesn't surprise me.
There was one that I found that I can totally show the stream. This isn't too inappropriate or anything, but I don't understand it. It actually looks like an in-game render as well.
All right, I'm gonna click on this, and Katie, if you're listening, this is why it's in my history.
Where I got a phone. There it is. I found it. Okay, so this is. I'll put it in our. I'll put it in our Discord as well, so you can see it there. Whoops. Okay, so that's sent to you, chat room. You can look at it.
What
on the screen.
In God's name?
I know this is Urel eating what appears to be. She's working her way down the torso here, but she has eaten a man. I assume that's a man.
I don't know. Those are pretty feminine legs.
It could be a lady, but it seems to be the naked writhing body of a dead of a person. I assume they're dead because they're being eaten. I don't understand this at all. This is beyond like, you know, fetishizing a character. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand it.
Yeah,
I know, right?
We're getting back into like armpit territory of fetishes that I don't understand. And I don't plan to understand.
Nope, not interested. Anyway, there it is, Urel having a snack. All right, I guess that's it. Hey, don't forget, as always, if you would like to be a bigger part of the show or find more cool stuff about the show, you can do that over at theinstance.net. As I mentioned before, brand new site, brand new comments, all that stuff's happening. So do check it out. Find us on Twitter at Instance Show, at Garrett Art, at Scott Johnson. More shows like this at frogpants.com. See you guys next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.